Start the fire, and in fact, we're hoping to put out some and keep it hot in other places. This is Bathrobes Pier, Robert Norse on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, your voice of independence here in Santa Cruz, the voice that you can use yourself. You can speak out on this station. This is going to be 2 hours of talk about mainly police misconduct and how to deal with it. We're going to have, we hope, in the studio soon, former Citizens Police Review Board member and guiding light behind the, well, certainly one of the main forces behind the establishment of the Citizens Police Review Board, John Malkin. We're going to have a report, on-the-spot report on recent police abuse by one of our old friends, Deputy Thurber. He's not going to be reporting. He is, in fact, the subject of the report. Currently, he's going after folks in vans again. We're going to be having a live guest talking about that. And we're going to have some updates. And we're going to begin with those updates, which we've kind of postponed. And the update we're going to right now launch into is about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. That's the shelter provider that now allows 30 folks to sleep in a church floor out of the 500 to 1,500 homeless people, and has $2 million community house project going as well. which will serve 30 people, I guess maybe 40 eventually, and is considerably different than what it started out to be. And of course, we've heard some criticism of that. You're going to hear more details about it. Let's get an update on Citizens Committee for the Homeless's Board of Directors meetings. So what's going on there? Because they and the Homeless Community Resource Center, a place that provides lockers for the homeless, meals during the day, place to be. Some call it a homeless ghetto. Others consider it to be a sanctuary. So I guess it's different things to different folks. It's Karen Gillette's special province out there at River and Highway 1 at Coral Street. It served many different functions. Let's hear what the two board members are saying about what's going on with the plan to merge that center with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the group that runs the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program and Community House. Well, here we are. It's April 1st. Perhaps it was April Fool's Day at the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Well, we all showed up, so
we're talking
kind of fools we are.
To two board members here, Becky Johnson and Laura Tucker. Well, who wants to start first and tell us what happened at this special meeting?
Thank you first. Gabriel has something to say.
Well, we had a professional mediator at the meeting from, did you catch where that was from?
Where he was from?
Yeah, Alameda or something like that. Not from
the Foundation.
No, he's being paid. His services were being paid for by a grant from the Packard Foundation. Actually, two grants: one a $10,000 grant and another $35,000 grant. So that's $45,000 to merge is kind of like the price tag for this merger, which may or may not happen.
Why? I don't understand that. Where's all the money going to? How come it costs so much?
There's lots of legal paperwork and entanglements, and there's a lot of suspicion from both HCRC over CCH finances, and CCH has a lot of suspicion over HCRC finances. one of the comments made at the meeting that they didn't really have a lot of confidence when they just read last year in the paper that the HCRC was going to close because due to lack of funding. So it doesn't really give me a lot of confidence in merging with an organization.
Like, we have a lot of room to talk.
Well, yeah, I'd say CCH has also been in precarious financial shape on and off. And we're actually in probably one of the better positions we've been in for quite a while financially.
Aren't you under a lawsuit by former Community House Director Frank Pieselik?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Is that a secret matter?
Oh, no, I was just saying, though, that, you know, if HCRC, that's probably something you wouldn't want to mention to HCRC right about.
I'll call them up. Go ahead.
one of the concerns I raised at the meeting was that I'm concerned that HCRC has not held open board meetings in the past. They've sort of claimed that they have, but when we've inquired about when and where the board meetings were, we were basically shut down, and myself and other individuals I know as well have made that attempt, and several of the members of CCH also expressed that would be really a non-negotiating point, would be that the meetings be open to the public.
Thank you. I was wondering if that exception was
except for you, Robert. Yes.
So what was the reaction? Was Karen Gillette at this meeting?
No.
Carol Shannon was there. She's the only staff member. It was exclusively board members of CCH, the mediator, and a few people from the Homeless Garden Project Advisory Board were there.
Because I was surprised they didn't recognize.
Yeah, who are not CCH members, but it was primarily a CCH meeting, with this paid facilitator who was quite good. I don't know if he's being paid, but he was quite good.
He had a nice expensive suit on too.
What was the purpose of the meeting?
The purpose of the meeting was to determine if we could, at the end of the meeting, come to some sort of consensus about whether we were going to move forward on the merger, whether we were going to back off the merger, or whether we were going to make this merger conditional. And I think that that was the third choice that was voted in by the board.
If all of our concerns are met, then we would be happy to see this merger happen.
And what are those concerns, Laura Tucker?
Are we able to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I'd say in general terms that we can. There were some, what we would consider personnel matters, and that was greatly concerned many of the CCH members. Apparently was a condition that the HCRC had made that they would not continue with the merger unless we agree right off the bat that Karen Gillette would be the executive director. So there was a controversy about whether that should be automatic. There were several people had concerns. And, Karen has, in the number of years she's been the executive director of the Homeless Community Resource Center, has accumulated some baggage, and there are a lot of stories going around, and many people have heard them. And so there was not, I would say, not uniform support for Karen Gillette being on the
CCH vote last meeting to simply restrict the hiring process to Karen Gillette. I guess you guys maybe were on the losing end of that vote, or?
Oh, well, Becky didn't show up, otherwise it would have been a tie, but...
Tie four, right?
Yeah.
Did you vote again on that issue, or...?
We decided, actually, that it's kind of silly to... they're saying to have Karen be the only applicant when, actually, what is she applying for? Her job that she already has? That doesn't make any sense. There's two executive directors, one for HCRC and one for... CCH, and our executive director is not going to be continuing to work for us anyway after July, and so there's really not a job. There's no, if we were to merge, there wouldn't actually be a job opening. We could decide not to have Karen as the executive director, fire her and hire somebody else, but we're talking about hiring her for the job that she already has.
I thought we were talking about a new position. I thought we were talking about a new position that was above both HCRC and CCH.
That's exactly what we're talking about, kind of a super executive director who would be in charge of both CCH and HCRC projects ultimately.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be like an executive director over two more executive directors, one being Karen and one being Carol.
But it would be certainly a person with greater power than currently the executive director has, right, of either organization.
Only in that we're merging, so they would have, power over more.
They have power over an entire CCH operation, right?
Yeah, exactly, over the ISSP program.
It's a new position in that sense. And did you vote to give that to Karen Gillette without discussion?
The same position given more to do.
The same position when you're controlling a much greater territory. It's a different position, in my view.
Basically, what's happened is that we voiced a lot of concerns. We were encouraged to seek in our own hearts what all of our concerns are, and to write them down and submit them to the three members who are on this from CCH, who are on our merger committee, which is Diane Lowe, Matt Guerrieri, and Catherine Byers.
What happened to Cynthia Matthews, the head of the merger committee that doesn't tell where the meetings are, doesn't give out the minutes, and doesn't respond to phone calls?
I'm not sure exactly where Cynthia Matthews is on this. I know that her name did not come up in the meeting today. So it didn't appear, at least from today's meeting, it doesn't seem that she's taking a very high-profile position. Perhaps more so at HCRC, but...
So this meeting took about 2 hours?
I don't know. There was no clock in the room.
You got back around 7:15, I think.
And we left early.
No, 6:30, actually.
Yeah, they're still bickering.
What disputes were outstanding when you left?
Well, they had moved on past the merger, and they had were taking up some of the leftover business of, the Homeless Garden Project separated officially today, April 1st, from CCH, and it's on its own. So there were some... leftover financial concerns regarding a payment of an audit, and so there was some of that being hashed around, and how to resolve it in a way that facilitates a good cooperation between CCH and Homeless Garden Project in a post-joined era.
Is the Homeless Garden Project still actually going on, or is it largely in limbo?
No, no, they have the site out at Swanton, or the Swenson property, I should say, out on Swanton Road. And there's also the tiny garden, the Women's Organic Flower Enterprise Garden, which is across from the Washington Street store site. So we have those two locations still occurring. And of course then, we've been hearing, of course, major negotiations with the Pogonet Master Plan to put up a homeless garden project in the clubhouse area of the Pogonet. But none of that came up at today's meeting. Peter Castleberg did arrive towards the end of the meeting.
What was the final decision regarding Karen Gillette?
That all the current concerns that we raised today and any other concerns that we have, that we articulate those in writing, send them to the committee, our merger subcommittee, that Karen then, that those be directed to the merger subcommittee on HCRC for them to answer, so we can get some sort of response from them.
You can find out when they're meeting.
The mediator directed that we should have, the next set of names should be fairly small. They should be our merger committee meeting and the HCRC merger committee meeting to work some out of these differences. Some of them are very sensitive. There are some rumors about Karen Gillette that are very sensitive, and yet
drug use, perhaps.
Perhaps.
By the way, that's the one thing I would not hold against Karen Gillette would be using marijuana.
Oh, I don't think that I don't care what she does in her off time, you know. But I think for me personally, I'm concerned of what's being allowed. I don't know how much this is okay to say over the air. Me and my big mouth, you know. I mean,
well, your opinion. Your opinions are your own. I mean, if you're reviewing somebody else's confidential discussion, that's
my opinion is that I've witnessed drug dealing on the site, and I'm just concerned that if Community House is going to be a clean and sober operation, that there at least, I just don't think that she has a good history as far as what people are allowed to do on site. And, you know, maybe she wasn't aware that any of that was going on, or maybe she was turning her head to it. But I don't think that she has a good history as far as that goes. Directing, but everything else, you know, maybe she's done a good job.
Anything else, Becky, that you can remember? For example, I know that there was concern that there would be some huge loss of federal monies if this merger happened. Has that concern been allayed?
Apparently they've worked out some sort of complicated process of keeping both 503 statuses, at keeping a separation but together. CP3O. Right. Apparently they felt that they had adequately addressed that, and that we would still be eligible for all those dollars that nonprofit status can garner. One final concern that I had, and I did not vote for the merger. I was one of the few who did not tentatively vote for the merger. And was asked, you know, why I didn't support, and I said, well, I really am sitting on the fence right now about this merger, and I said, at this point in time, I'm slightly opposed to it, and that is because I don't see that the stated purpose for the merger, which is to increase or improve our services to homeless people, I don't see how this merger is going to accomplish that in any way, shape, or form.
We haven't even talked about it. It hasn't even been discussed how we'll help homeless people.
Yeah, Dick Wilson is the one who mentioned it when he came in and spoke at our meeting about, you know, that it would, but he didn't give any facts or reason. I haven't seen any evidence that it would improve services to
Hunter. The real reason for the merger, well, I don't know what the real reason is. It's been bruited about that perhaps the real reason is Dick Wilson's nervousness to have CCH have so much control over or responsibility for the Community House project after its somewhat questionable record in the last decade.
Oh, I suppose that could be it. My gut feeling about why this merger would be a good idea. Sometimes HCRC and CCH are in the uncomfortable position of competing for the exact same dollars, and that there's competition between them. And if we were one agency, then that would, I suppose it would still occur, but it would work out internally.
That was strange. Well, thank you very much.
Byers says that the reason the city is so eager for us to merge is because there's two organizations that are both on the same property. And Becky actually pointed out that there's actually four organizations on the same property. So why is it that it would be so helpful for two of them to merge?
And that was the April Fool's Day report, although unfortunately all of it very serious. On the board of directors meeting, I guess a special meeting of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which as you've heard is considering merging, actually planning to merge, with the Homeless Community Resource Center. Again, for those who don't know, CCH is the organization that has the very small emergency shelter program during the summer that houses on church floors about 30 homeless people. And it also used to run the Homeless Garden Project before the City Council decided to sell out the land from under the Homeless Garden Project. And I guess the Homeless Garden Project is now scrambling with what it has left. And finally, there's the Community House Project, a really multi-million dollar project, which is sort of a halfway house program for folks with SSI checks, which I guess is due to begin on May 1st. In the studio with us, we have, again, Board of Directors member Becky Johnson, who I guess you had a board meeting a week ago?
That's right, last Thursday.
What's the update, Becky? I know that since CCH is committed to open meetings, I'm sure that you want to give us all the information you can about what's going on with this merger.
Well, I want to correct, we're tentatively planning on opening Community House on May 15th, although that date may not be set in stone, but we're getting very, very close to opening that program.
What's the story? A number of questions have been raised. One of the primary questions that I brought, I wasn't able to bring up at City Council two nights ago, is this lawsuit, which is hanging over the head of Citizens Committee for the Homeless like a dark cloud around Frank Pusilek, the former Community House Director, actually one of the few people who actually wanted to open a safe haven for homeless people and was unceremoniously dumped, apparently at the behest of City Manager Dick Wilson. He's suing Citizens Committee for the Homeless. What's happening with that?
I really couldn't comment on that right now.
What about the situation at Community House? So let me ask you this. Didn't Carol Shannon, the previous director of, the Community House Project, take your organization from being deeply in the red into the black and is now being dumped?
The new executive director after the merger at this point in time looks like it will be Karen Gillette, and yes, Carol has indicated that she's willing to step down.
She's willing to step down, or she's being kicked down the stairway? What's going on here?
Well, I haven't talked to her personally, but from what happened at the board, she indicated that she was willing to leave, but she'll be sorely missed. She's really done a very good job. She came on a time when CCH's finances were...
Just after an open hiring process where Karen Gillette and others were interviewed and the best candidate was selected?
It was an open hiring process. We advertised, we interviewed a number of candidates, and Carol was selected from...
No. I mean, was Karen Gillette, it was your new director that's replacing her, hired through an open hiring process?
I can't really comment on that at this time.
Okay. How will homeless services be benefited from this this merger? I mean, certainly it's causing a lot of ruckus, costing a lot of money, $45,000 for a mediator alone, I'm hearing, or at least that's certainly part of the cost, $30,000, I'm sorry. How homeless services are going to be, of course, improved by this merger?
Dick Wilson has said that homeless services will be improved.
How exactly will they be improved? Are they going to be new services? Are they going to be expanded services? Improved services, perhaps? In what way will they be improved?
Well, as far as I know, the only services will be the existing services, which are the ISSP program, Community House, and of course after the merger would be the things that...
Well, have you even shown any cost savings from this merger? In fact, aren't you losing $150,000 in federal money, or are you working it so that you're going to keep CCH as a sort of a paper organization in the drawer, which where HCRC sort of runs the show? What's going on?
I'm not really sure exactly how the finances work out. I know that there were some expenses to put this merger together. It's not complete. It's not a done deal at this point. But I can assure you that the merger is coming along very well, and we're just ironing out a few differences.
Well, how much will Karen Gillette's salary be bumped up?
I really don't know the answer to that, I'm just guessing. I'm thinking that she probably would, with having greater authority and more programs beneath her to manage, she probably would get an increase in salary.
Well, her board in the past has had closed meetings with her own clients and activists, essentially not only not allowed in the board meetings unless they clear a special screening process through her, but not informed when the meetings happen. What's going to stop the... I understand that there's been a demand by CCH that this process not be repeated and that there be open meetings, but if Karen Gillette essentially is running the board, and if it's her board that is primarily in control of this situation, when the first board meets, can't they just change those rules back again? Make it closed meetings again?
Well, at this point in time, CCH did say that a condition of the merger would be that we hold meetings that are open meetings. That means members of the public are welcome to attend. And that was a condition. It was accepted by the HCRC.
But can that be changed back again at the first board meeting?
I assume so.
Well, isn't this really a hostile takeover by the Homeless Community Resource Center, essentially maybe because they don't trust CCH, because they want to supplant it, or because Dick Wilson believes somehow that he would prefer Karen Gillette and her own process in power rather than... I'm not quite sure how to characterize CCH. We had Paul Lee for a while. He's no longer in the board of directors. Is this a hostile takeover?
Well, you're able to characterize this any way you choose, Robert. All I can tell you is that the merger is proceeding beautifully, and we're just ironing out a few differences.
Well, thank you, Becky Johnson, for your enlightening analysis of the CCH-HCRC merger coming down the pike. You tuned to Free Radio.
And watch for the opening of Community House in the middle of May.
We'll have our sleeping bags ready.
We'll have a big splash there, and I expect a big turnout.
A big turnout. Well, you know, considering that the sleeping ban is in full force and there are less than 30 legal places to sleep, I'm hoping that folks will turn out with sleeping bags and backpacks, but who knows. Apparently, I guess the final thing I wanted to ask you is... the amount of money that's going to be required for a person to get into Community House is how much?
Well, there was some discussion about this, and we had hoped that we could offer entrance to Community House for people with no income at no cost, but it turns out that we really are going to have to require a substantial contribution from clients at Community House. Well, it averages out to $227 per month per client.
So it's not exactly free of charge.
It looks like that the clients are going to have,
I thought I heard the Social Services Subcommittee and Jane Yokoyama and Mike Rotkin and Cynthia Matthews all agree that these services were not going to cost money for homeless people. But I guess times change, councils change, and that's just how it goes. Yeah, and memories fade. Thank you, Becky Johnson. Again, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is your radio station, and our lines are open at 423-5361 if you want to call in. In the studio with us, we have a number of distinguished personages. I'll try to get them to move a little closer to the mic here. First, I'm going to let's introduce our guests. You are?
Dave Legion.
And Dave, I ran into you at the Cafe Pergolisi this morning. You're a companion and friend to John and Leslie Hernandez, a couple of activists who are both environmental activists and homeless activists.
Yes, John Hernandez and Leslie Scales, yes.
And I also have in the studio a longtime observer, commentator, and activist around police review or police affairs generally, John Malcolm.
Hello.
Hi, John. And well, let's begin with your story, Dave. What happened? Was it this morning the incident occurred?
Well, it's happened twice in 1 week now. Last week, Officer Thurber was citing and asking questions to Leslie just because she wanted to take a stroller out of the back of her van. The van is registered in Oregon, and they were borrowing it for a short period of time while they're. Van is being fixed. And they're going through a very stressful time, and they tried to relay this message to Thurber. He wasn't very cooperative. He ended up having to call a lieutenant to the scene. The lieutenant took him aside for a few minutes and tried to straighten him out, and they finally left.
Let me ask, what was the problem? Was Deputy Thurber responding to a complaint? Were these two breaking windows or peeing in the street or abusing their child, perhaps?
No, I think he's obsessed with the fact that he thinks that they are sleeping in their van. They pay rent at that place, and they've expressed that to them. Other people that live there express it to him. They've mentioned the fact that they are not really into public right now. They have some problems, and they'd like to be left alone.
Inside the city limits or Santa?
Actually, it's county.
You know, it's not illegal to sleep in a vehicle in almost all parts of the county. There are certain small areas where there is a camping ban, Pasatiempo and I believe Tanner Heights, I think there's another one, but 95% of the county is legal for people to sleep in. So Deputy Thurber may have been in error in suggesting that they were, should we say, illegal in sleeping in their van if they were.
This was suggested several times by John, sometimes frantically trying to get the point across to him that even if he was sleeping in this area, that it's not illegal.
I'm going to hear more about this, but John, what's your initial reaction? Did you find similar cases coming up before the Citizens Police Review Board and when you were on the board?
There were all kinds of different complaints filed when I was on the board, and all kinds of complaints not filed when I was on the board, I think. When we worked to establish the board for many years, we collected a lot of complaints during that time, and yeah, that's a type of complaint that might come in, or officers not being truthful according to the complainant, not being truthful in their writing of their police report, or being physically abusive, being verbally abusive. One young black man who was a student at UCSC was told to go back to Africa by a police officer, and actually, that man did not file a complaint. I'm not sure if he filed a complaint or not, but eventually it was worked out in a process aside from the complaints process. He met directly with the police chief and the officer that he was complaining about, and they worked it out, which I don't think is useful in the long term.
You know how many other people the officer gave that same advice to?
Yeah. And also, there's no record then of what occurred with that and how it was resolved. And there's no system in place, or at the time there was no system in place to deal with complaints by citizens. Now there is a system in place, and I was a part of that system, and I realized at some point that it was not useful to be a part of that system anymore, and I resigned from the Citizens Police Review Board.
This actually is going to be the subject of the lion's share of the show. What I'm going to do first is kind of continue the story, David, around Deputy Thurber, who we've discussed on the air before. In fact, John and Leslie have called in about, I believe, this incident earlier. And I guess a second incident or a third incident, I'm not sure how many Deputy Thurber has been involved in with them, that happened today. Were Leslie and John cited by Deputy Thurber for sleeping in their van or anything of that sort?
No, actually, just cited for, again, were the Oregon plates being in the area longer than 10 days, I guess that's the limit. They were cited a few days ago by the Highway Patrol for the same thing. And John and I, last night until midnight, cleaned that van out, because he took a trip this morning, and he was actually on the way out of town when Thurber showed up. So it was very clean. There was nothing in the windows that stopped the police from looking in to make sure nobody was sleeping in there. In fact, the police officer came by and checked inside there.
Not that it was any of their business.
Yeah, after lights.